till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. I always thought it was Mount Hermon myself, because you could hide in Mount Hermon enough not to be seen. But every guide in Israel points at Mount Tabor. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. If you ever go to Israel, you'll hear it. And I thought, hogwash. I didn't see the top of that one. And I didn't think, you know, that perhaps Jesus would be able to hide very much, especially from people as over on the Cana side of the other mountain. Amen. Looking over at Mount Tabor. Amen. So I always thought it was Mount Hermon, because that was the highest one in the country. But then I got up toward 60 and 65 years old, and I decided that Mount Tabor was exceeding high enough. Amen. So, amen. Maybe it was Mount Tabor. And perhaps they were in a remote enough position that no one would see them. And perhaps the land was not denuded of all of its timber then. It was still very rich and in all of its resources, thick with trees and vines and lush greenery and flowers. So perhaps it was Mount Tabor. Since balded by many a war and overrun by the Turks, and the whole land of Palestine stripped of all its wood and all of its trees, and became a desert, in fact, quit raining in Palestine until Israel went back. When Israel went back and planted millions of trees, every tree puts out moisture in the air. A ordinary oak tree will put out several barrels of moisture a day and will take in carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide and poisonous gases and grow with it and put out oxygen. That's why the trees are so important. Amen. I'm preaching on my eyes have seen. Oh, the miracle of sight that we take for granted. Amen. Mine eyes have seen. Praise God. After 6 days, he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto him Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Can you imagine seeing such a spectacle? Amen. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. You see, why did Peter say that? He didn't know anything else to say. And you probably wouldn't have either. And I would have, as slow on the draw as I am and as slow-witted as I am, I did worse than he did. There was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. Mine eyes have seen. Praise God. Oh, mine eyes have seen the face of my mother in her youth. Mine eyes have looked upon my father in his youth. Amen. And to me, in my mental conception and vision, my mom and dad will never be any more than 35 or 40 years old. That's the imprint that was made upon my mind. Oh, I saw them when they got old. Amen. Sandra was with us when we went to see Mama after Joy Heights meeting. Amen. She perked up. But she was hurting then. But she always could perk up and do better when there was something special going on. And Mama had special company. When we showed her the pictures of the grandkids, those beautiful girls and those sweet boys, amen, Mama wept. I knew why she wept. She only got to see the pictures. She didn't get to see them as they grew. She had missed it. Amen. I saw Mom and Dad when they had been apart for over a year and hadn't seen each other. Maybe more than a year, maybe 2 years. And by this time, Mom had had a stroke and was paralyzed and couldn't walk and was in a wheelchair. And Dad hadn't seen her yet. He was so debilitated in the veterans hospital himself, he didn't get out and go anywhere. So finally, he recovered enough that he could get out and come home after some years of being apart. I was there when we brought Mama home. We borrowed Bean Ballard's van, his Beauville Chevy van. And we was able to get Mom's wheelchair in it and brought her from the rest home at Salem, 20 miles away to my brother's house, and rolled her out of the van and up on the carport. And Dad stepped out the door and saw her for the first time since she'd had a stroke. She saw him for the first time since he'd got his new hip and could walk a little better and looked a whole lot better. Amen. They saw each other. Mom hung her head and wept aloud. And Dad hung his head as he stood there, and he cried. I saw it all. I'm glad I did. Amen. I saw Grandpa when he was young, younger than I am now. Amen. Grandpa, my little old Grandpa Collins, because we was there so much and lived with him two different times when Mama's in the TB sanitarium, and after our house burned, we lived with Grandma and Grandpa again. So Grandpa Collins, he was my favorite. And Grandpa never did learn to drive a car. All his life, he never learned. Grandpa Robson learned to drive his old Ford truck. And Denver and Bartis and the boys would get him out and get him drunk and leave him laying beside the road and take his truck and his money and live it up for a while. Amen. And at least that's what Mom said they did. Amen. Since Denver, Bartis is dead with cancer, and Denver's not here to defend himself. Amen. I just tell you what Mama said. Amen. Denver lives in Oregon now. Moved out west. I saw them all. Many of them are gone to the great beyond, but these eyes of mine saw them. Praise God. I went back to see my little grandpa and my grandma Collins one more time in 1964, Christmas 63. Amen. And I became convicted. I hadn't talked to him about the Lord. And I said, Dad, I got to go back over and see grandma and grandpa. And I hadn't spoken about Jesus to them. I'd prayed grandma through when she got sick on somebody's chicken and dumplings that had been out too long at the decoration in about 1951 or two. Amen. Grandma had chewed tobacco ever since she was 5 years old. She liked Star Twist. And Grandma Robinson chewed too, but she swallowed the juice because Grandpa Robinson, if he ever caught her spitting, he'd give her a whipping like a child. Amen. So she swallowed the juice. And so I used to wonder why Grandma went around doing this. She was swallowing the juice. And Grandma Robinson would chew anything, Prince Albert. That cigarette and pipe tobacco Bull Durham. That you raised in the field, she'd chew anything, but Grandpa better not never catch her chewing. She quit that. Grandma got saved too. Praise God. Gloriously saved and filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And Grandma, that's Grandma Robinson. Grandma Collins got saved. I went by to see her and prayed her through to salvation, and she quit chewing tobacco. And that was a good sign. Grandma got saved too when she quit chewing, because she had chewed all of her life. I saw it all. These eyes have seen. Amen. I saw my little old grandpa when he worked for little or nothing for the neighboring farmers building fence. And amen. I didn't get to see him ride his road grader that he pulled with horses, but he graded the county roads with a horse-drawn grader like the one sitting at the opening out of the camp there. Amen. My brother's got grandpa's grader in his yard. He found it at a sale and bought it and put it in his yard. Amen. Grandpa worked all the roads in the country. He had poverty, but they had happiness of sorts. About as much as you could have being a sinner. Amen. And they had love in the household for the grandchildren. And you may not believe this, but even sinners are blessed because of what God's going to do. And I think God blessed the old folks at home because He's going to save me and fill me the Holy Ghost and call me to preach the gospel. Praise God. And so when I climbed up that tree to look out over the water on Old Spring River like Dad and Grandpa did to watch those big red horse show, they got 20, 21 pounds and had red fins, those big horny-headed suckers. Amen. Got up to 20 pounds, and Grandpa and my dad would quit any job they was doing when the dogwoods was in full bloom and the red horse was showing to go to the river. They took a vacation whether the boss wanted them to take it or not. Amen. And they went to the red horse shows. Amen. And I stood there and starved on the bank as my dad had his fun. I begged to go fishing with him and then got more than I bargained for. It was cold on that riverbank and I froze and I shook. And so I dug me a big hole back in the sandbank of Old Spring River and got back in it. Amen. I had me a cave. Amen. And one day, Mr. Taylor, a cousin of ours that owned the farm, was walking and showing another man his farm, and he walked over my cave, and it caved in with him. Amen. Who in the world did that? Junior did. Amen. He dug him a cave and got in it. So one day I grabbed me up a fishing pole that died and left on my side of the river, and I decided just to try my luck on my side, blind dragging. Amen. I didn't figure on catching anything, okay, but I was going to try it anyway. Then I crossed the river where the water got more shallow on a big scaffold. And when they'd catch a fish, they'd go, whee, whee, whee. And they didn't have a rod and reel. They had a cane pole as long as you could get, with the joints close together so it'd be strong. Amen. You could buy them then at the hardware. They had a cane pole, amen, with a line on it longer than the pole, and a string of hooks, amen, that stretched out 4 or 5 foot on the end. He'd throw out among those red horse, amen, and guide it in there and jerk. I saw him do it, so I tried it on my side of the river, didn't have anything else to do, and I hung into something. They had scared him over onto my side, and I didn't know it, and I hung me a red horse, and I hollered, whee, 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 just like Grandpa and Dad did. And so I kept a fishing, and I caught me another one, and I hollered, whee, whee, whee. The little skinny kid on the opposite riverbank. And him standing over there laughing because I was catching fish by accident that they'd scared over on my side. Ah, my eyes have seen the fish come up the river and shoal in the springtime when the dogwoods was in full bloom. And that's when little boys and little girls would break off a big bouquet of dogwoods. And because there was no prettier flowers around, we'd take them to Mama. And Mama would put them in a big fruit jar and set them on the table. Amen. We'd pick the bouquet. In 1948, amen. In 1948, I walked a sawdust trail. 14 years old in April of 48. In July of 48, they pitched a tent, and this something got a hold of me. When they told about the coming of the Lord, my soul saw it, Mike Barker. My inner being saw it. Amen. And I saw that I wasn't ready for it. And something got a hold of me. A voice spoke to my inner being and said, it's now or never. It said in such forceful language, if you don't get saved tonight, you'll never get saved. And something got a hold of me, and I stepped out of that in that aisle, and it seemed like my legs was made out of wood, and I bowed my head and walked down Sawdust Trail. Hallelujah. Amen. That night I got saved. If I'd have looked, I'd have probably saw God's tracks right where my knees pressed into the sawdust. I met the Lord. Praise God. Oh, what a life this has been. What my eyes have seen. I saw my children grow up before my eyes, and my ears have heard them pray and talk in other tongues and weep and shout the victory. Amen. My eyes have seen the coming of those beautiful grandchildren, praise God, and saw them grow up. Amen. Oh, we've got pictures to show other folks, but indelibly imprinted upon my mind is the beauty of it all. In the work of God to see your children grow in the house of God. His footprints was there too. Amen. Only eternity will tell. Praise God. The footprints of God. Amen. I saw Mama when she was old. When I, by the grace of God, could pray for her and comfort her, and pray with her as she wept in her paralytic condition, paralyzed in her left side. Amen. But boy, did she have an appetite. And when they hollered food, we'd wheel her up to the table. And with that one hand, she'd forget about us for a while. And she would eat. I saw it. I saw it that last time we visited her in a rest home before we sat by our bedside in West Plains Hospital. And I read that precious promises Bible. I saw her when she lost all taste for food. And that's the way cancer works. When they get to where they can't even stand the smell of it, and they don't want you to even mention it, you know they don't have long for this old world. And I saw Mama when she wept that day at the rest home. Sandra was probably there. As I said, "What's the matter, Mom?" And I thought it was those bed sores, perhaps. And I lifted her up in her wheelchair and rearranged her. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I'm hurting." But then Mama had hurt for 35 years. I can't remember when Mama wasn't hurting. But this time, Mama was hurting bad. Amen. She lost all taste for food. Amen. I saw her when her toothless mouth was clamped shut like a vise, and that little lower lip pulled away back in, lest anybody should stick a straw or a spoon or a bite of food between her lips, because she despised food in those last days. So I sat there reading those precious promises. It's one of those little Bibles, I've still got it, amen, that you open up and all the promises are shaded. And so no matter where you open the Bible, you'll find some promises that's shaded. So I just opened the Bible at random and read her the precious promises. And every once in a while, I would hit such a note reading those precious promises in West Plains Hospital that it would touch Mama's heart and her mouth would fly open and that little lower lip would come unglued and she would say in a quavering voice, "Amen," and then shut her mouth back up again, lest anybody should stick a straw or food between her lips. Amen. Amen. I didn't know when Sister Collins and I visited Daddy the last time, and we heard him praying in the bedroom, and he ended his prayer, and I thought perhaps his prayer was more for our benefit than anything else, but I hope I'm wrong. My wife said he's praying. He ended his prayer like this: "In Jesus' name, amen." I didn't know we'd be called home suddenly on a Sunday morning, January 19th, 1991. Amen. I didn't know when my daughter called me at Ryan's Steakhouse what had happened. We supposed there was foul play. Amen. We rushed home. I wanted to see him. My brother didn't want to see him. The reason Carl didn't want to see him was Carl felt guilty then, and the reason he drinks now is because he still feels guilty. And there's nothing that'll ever assuage Carl's guilt but the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ when that backslider comes home. Amen. Pray for him. Carl wouldn't look at him. The man at the mortuary in a funeral home took me back where Dad lay before they dressed him. And I looked down on my one-time heroes, Cold Face. But I got to see him. I stood over his casket with my wife later, after we'd read his note. I can't keep up in the world anymore. And I said, I don't care if he couldn't keep up in the world anymore. I wanted him. And we want to see them as long as we can, Mike. Go to see Daddy. Soak it in. Remember it. Write it on the tables of your heart. You'll be glad someday. Because now, the historian of my family is dead. The one that told me all the facts of the past and pieced things together that I didn't know. He's gone now. I can't go to Daddy and ask him, how was it? What did they do? He's gone. The historian of the family. The hero of my youth is gone. Oh, I had such high hopes for him. I dreamed that someday he would stand here, amen, and testify the saving grace of God. I was so glad when he prayed the sinner's prayer with me in Veterans Hospital in Poplar Bluff. He repeated it after me, and I left him a brand new Bible. Next time I went back, I said, Dad, where's your Bible? And I'll read it to you. Oh, he said, I gave that to Jackie. And I knew why Brother Moore, when I told him my dad prayed the sinner's prayer with me, he wasn't excited. He said, the main thing is to be saved. Amen. So I had my doubts when Dad gave away his Bible. Amen. I traded Jackie and Monty out of it. I traded them a brand new, better Bible. I've got it out there. Amen. I take it to revivals with me. Amen. And sometimes I tell folks that this is a Bible I gave my dad after he prayed the sinner's prayer, but then gave it away. Amen. I tell you, if you don't love the Bible after you get saved, you're going to be a weak or non-existent Christian. You better love the Word of God and live in the truth of heaven. I'm so glad I can read. I'm so glad, praise God, that I've got Bibles that I can read, that I can see the promises of God and the wonderful Word of God. Oh, yes, praise God. My eyes have seen what a picture has passed before me in these years of preaching the gospel. Mine eyes have seen the glory. Hallelujah. He said, some of you won't taste death until you've seen the kingdom of God coming with power. Hallelujah. I guess I've seen it. I hesitate to say 1,000 times. Praise God. But when the Holy Ghost moves, folks, that's the power of the kingdom. When you feel that real power of God, praise God, and it's lifting you up, hallelujah, out of the doldrums, and it's lifting you up in power and praise and faith and love, I want you to know that's the same thing you're going to feel when a rapture takes place. Only, praise God, we're going to go through the ceiling. We're going to go out of here. We're going to go through the 6 foot of earth or 4 foot or so that's tumbled on our casket if we happen to be in the grave dying in the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Hey, We don't realize how wonderfully blessed we are when Jesus passes by and the glory comes down. Yes, your eyes have seen the glory. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Jesus told him not to tell it. Tell no man the things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. How in the world could they keep it quiet? How in the world could they not tell it? Amen. But they kept these sayings till after, with themselves, questioning one with another, what the rising from the dead should mean. Why did he let them see it? If they had just realized it, they was looking beyond the cross. They was leapfrogging over Golgotha and Gethsemane. Hallelujah. If they would realize it, praise God, they were looking beyond the grave, beyond death itself, to the glory that awaits me in heaven's bright city. Praise God. Hey, they saw the kingdom of God coming with power. Jesus graces these services with his power and glory. Amen. Don't take it for granted. Don't talk lightly of it, because someday soon you may long to see one of the days like God's been giving us at the Highway of Holiness Church. Amen. Said someday you'll long for one of the days of the Son of Man. Soak it in while you got it. Amen. Someday there's a whole world of people out there, amen, it's going to be left behind in the rapture of the church. It's going to long to see one of the days of the church. But the body of Christ is gone. For as I'm concerned, McCain committed political suicide when he took a slap at the religious right. Amen. Amen. He signed his own death warrant. Amen. He'd have been 1,000 times better off to keep his mouth shut and hooped it up for the rest of us. Praise God. Amen. Hey, amen. Listen, God's still running the show, folks. And in the long run, he's going to have his way. Come on. I don't care how it comes out. Amen. I know this much. Some of these days, you're going to long to touch one of these saints. They make you feel guilty. Amen. Brother Andy called me. Amen. When he felt like he had a victory, and the lawyer told him he didn't have anything to worry about now. Amen. After the coroner's report was released. Amen. He felt like it was a sign. Amen. But, boy, you know the world still hates God's people. Amen. But I want to tell you who we are. Praise God. We're God's gentle people that live and love in our hometown. Come on. We read the good book. Amen. Praise God. From sun till Monday. Hallelujah. Amen. We live by the good book. I love those gentle people that live in love in my hometown. Amen. I reckon if Dobson, amen, can take the judge and play it over the radio, amen, Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I've heard him do it 2 or 3 times. Amen. Play a country song by the judge. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days when daddies didn't go away. Amen. When mothers stayed. Tell me about the good old days. If Dobson can do that, I can sing about God's gentle people that live and love in my hometown. Amen. And then for these Johnny-come-latelys that got them a bureaucratic job that's got to justify their check, amen, to take it out on a man of God like Andy Johnson, hey, you're going to miss us when we're gone. Amen. They call us fanatics. They saw all our women fix our hair the same way. Amen. Stand up, Jessica. Amen. Stand up, Sister Darlene. Amen. Stand up, Karenita. Amen. Stand up. Stand up, Gloria. Amen. There's not a one of them got the same hairdo. Praise God. Not a one of them. And it's all over the house, praise God. Hey, what they really don't like is that they got long hair. Or they got some. Huh? Ooh, glory to God. Amen. I'm telling you what, Jesus would have a hard time finding a woman like that woman, amen, that washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair, because ain't nobody much in most of these churches got enough hair. Unless it's the male song leader. Amen. Huh? They say, how long is long and how short is short? You can tell they don't know when the preacher's wife ain't got enough for a good ducktail. She shaved the back of her neck. Amen. And the preacher has got enough for a permanent. They sure don't know, do they? Amen. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. The preacher that preached about it being a shame for a man to have long hair. Amen. Over the radio, Pentecostal preacher. Amen. He used to preach in this church. I heard him. He said there's a big difference in sin and shame. You know what he's doing? He's justifying part of his church and his boys. He's not preaching anymore. Amen. He sold his church and told his people, don't come back. Amen. He's not preaching anymore. Faded out. Amen. Hey, amen. You mess up God's word. You mess with the holy book. Pretty soon, something's going to mess with your honor. Pretty soon, God's going to mess with the perpetuity. Amen. Of your ministry. Hallelujah. Pretty soon, you're going to go down in notoriety if you're not very careful. Amen. Because you mess with God's word. Amen. Don't mess with God's word. Leave it just like it is. What did God's word say? He said, don't nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him? And if a woman has long hair, is it glory to her? I like the Bible the way it reads, don't you? Praise God. And you know, down through the ages, men have lived by the Bible. Hallelujah. King James Version. Amen. Don't mess with that. You're messing with your own honor when you mess with the Word of God. Amen. How long is long? Long as it'll go. How short is short? Amen. Above the ears is a good starter. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. Hey, you boys got the best chance in the world to be in style today. Amen. And live by the Bible, because white walls are in style. Of course, about everything else is too. Amen. One of these boys, I saw him here the other night. Amen. He had shaved all off except these bangs and had them pulled down in front. It's a good thing to have some hair. I might do that if I had some hair. Some folks have accused me of having a toupee. Hey, boys, amen. If I had a toupee, I'd really get one. I'd look like a hog looking out of sage grass. I took a notion to get a toupee. Amen. Hallelujah. Ew! Hallelujah. This all my hair and I didn't buy it. I grew it. Ain't none of your business which way I comb it. Amen. Amen. Just hope the wind don't get too high at the wrong time. Amen. Hallelujah. I like a Bible. Praise God. Amen. The Bible's right. Somebody's wrong. Oh, I'm glad I lived long enough to see it. Praise God. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's trampling out his vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. He'll loose the fearful lightnings of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on, and I'm looking at it tonight. I'm seeing it tonight. And you're seeing it tonight. Raise your hands and praise him. What my eyes have seen. Amen. I've seen the product of the assembly line, Henry Ford's invention. Amen. He could take 10,000 men, each of them making one little part. Amen. And run an automobile an hour off of the assembly line. At least that much. Amen. A magnificent machine that is so fine-tuned. Amen. It's like a Rolex watch. And if we get one that misses a lick, that stops in the middle of the road, if we're not careful, we'll call that magnificent invention a lemon. Amen. Woo! Amen. Brother, they all used to be lemons. But can you imagine? Somebody planned and they poured a mold. Brother Robbins can tell you about it. For a motor. And then men trained to drill to a thousandth, less than a thousandth of an inch. Accuracy. Amen. Drill and polish that cylinder. Amen. Somebody else made a piston. Amen. To go up and down in that cylinder because it was forced down by explosions that happened just at the time both valves were closed and the cam, amen, had everything just right. And the same cam, amen, turned the distributor just to the right place until in less than a millionth of a second, a spark jumped and set that charge of air and gasoline mixed together in the top of that cylinder off, amen, and caused it to go down. And about that time, another one went off. And about that time, another one went off. Amen. And it was all hooked to a crankshaft. It was all bent to accommodate every cylinder in its proper time. How did they do it? I can't do it. I want to tell you what. If I had to spend the rest of my life hammering one out, that would run. It'd be worth $10 million, not $20,000. Amen. But my. In this last day, we have seen with our eyes many inventions. We've seen airplanes that fly the speed of sound, automobiles that travel at a terrific rate of speed down ribbons of highways that have taken away acres and acres and acres of corn and soybean across the country, and the traffic is terrific. Why have you and I been privileged to see these things to their perfection? Because God wants us to tell the news to everybody we can real fast. Amen. It's amazing that the world feels so helpless as they stand back and watch hundreds and thousands of people drown in Mozambique, with armies sitting doing nothing, and nations saying,